you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, start the season off with the freshest Cleveland Browns gear. Visit the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Time to bark, dog pound, and get yourself in the best gear from Nike. Again, at the Browns team shop or shop online at clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app. You guys are blowing up the phones, 216-578-0850. Let's get to Rich in Cleveland now. What's up, Rich?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. Yes, I was just calling to say that I think that both quarterbacks are doing very well. I think that it was a bad choice not to get a number one pick at wide receiver, though, which is putting both quarterbacks in a bad position to not succeed.
It's somewhat of a fair point, but I would have to say that, you know, Brian Hoyer was out there with Josh Gordon, Miles Austin, Andrew Hawkins. He was missing Jordan Cameron. Now, without Josh Gordon out there, yes, it does put some pressure on the wide receiving core, but I think clearly this is a team and an organization led by general manager Ray Farmer and head coach Mike Pettine that is a believer in a tough defense, an ability to run the football, a good offensive line, and that receivers can be somewhat secondary ultimately to your goal, kind of the way that Carolina, Seattle, and San Francisco did things last year. I do think getting a receiver certainly would help this team, and hopefully we get a ruling on the Josh Gordon thing sooner rather than later, and we get to have him as much as we all want him to. But, you know, I think that the receiver position is one that, yes, you need guys to step up. We need Miles Austin to regain his form. Nate Burleson needs to show something. Andrew Hawkins needs to continue to kind of recapture that form he had early in camp to take some pressure off of these quarterbacks.
I think the regret over the Browns not using a first-round pick, and let's just make the conversation about the fourth overall pick, not Sammy Watkins, and then making the trade that allowed Buffalo to do so. But if you do that, you could have that regret, and it's possible that that regret could linger. However, my other thought on that is what you gained by not doing that, and what you gained, of course, is a first-round pick next year and a fourth-round pick next year and the opportunity to come out of the first day of the draft with two first-rounders, including a guy, and we'll see if Justin Gilbert, what his health is, because we didn't get to see him Saturday night, a starter at cornerback, and that may change. I mean, if you've got a starting cornerback and your ultimate franchise starting quarterback after that trade that netted you two more picks next year, especially the first-rounder, it's going to mitigate the regret in my mind over not taking that receiver. As we go through calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Mike in Independence joins us now. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Happy Monday, man.
Same to you.
I'm kind of, I'm very anxious to see this game coming up on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Because I myself, I'm a giant Redskins fan. So to see Kyle Shanahan in Washington, you know, in a Browns camp, and with the Browns running that same type of pistol stuff you saw on Saturday night, I think it's going to be great for the Browns to go up against the team that still runs that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to see really what kind of progression Johnny's going to get, because Gordon's going to get suspended, there's no doubt. It's just for how many games.
Right.
And without him in there, I really think that Manziel helps them, because who do you really have at playmaker, you know, on wide receiver consistently? I don't know if Miles, as good as he is with his hamstring issues, can be a number one, you know, league leading receiver for 16 games.
Yeah.
And with Cameron and whatnot, you know, Manziel just creates stuff.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Rich. Some solid points made there, and we've said this before about the difference, the slack that maybe is picked up by Manziel, especially if Josh Gordon isn't in there. I will say the pistol plays were okay. I'd rather see more. When Manziel was his most effective scrambling, it was out of the pocket. It was in those pistol looks, although a lot of those are done so you can set up either runs or play fakes to throw. He excels at that, but ultimately, I think it's a little better with him in the pocket.
When you look at it, he had three scrambles from the pocket for 20 yards. He had two designed runs that netted him eight yards.
Eight, yeah.
And then he had one where he lost the yard on a kneel. So listen, 4 yards of carry, not great, but nothing to thumb your nose at. But right, I think he's at his most effective, much like we see Colin Kaepernick now becoming more effective now that the read option teams have kind of figured that out a little bit. When he drops back and scrambles and coverages spread, that's where he can pick up big chunks of yardage. Let's go now to Jessica in Cleveland. Jessica, welcome to CBD.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. I first want to start off with saying that I like Johnny Manziel. I think he's going to be great, actually. But I've been watching and listening to all the media, and I just think Brian Hoyer has no chance. Like everyone was saying, like, if he makes a mistake or something, everyone's going to be crying for Johnny. And another thing about when everyone says about our receivers that they think Johnny can make more plays, well, you have, I know that Brian Hoyer is not a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, but those guys make people better that's not, you know, star receivers, and they throw from the pocket. So just because you can run doesn't exactly mean that you're going to make more plays.
Okay.
I think that's a fair point. I think it's also what you mean by make more plays. And Tom Brady, who has done that with lesser receivers, is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the history of the National Football League. I think most quarterbacks certainly would like to have more accomplished receivers than not. I think what it means by making plays is that, and don't forget, Tom Brady, when his receivers were really at their worst, back when they were winning Super Bowls, that was much more of a running football team. If you go back and look at his stats from the 2003-2004 era, you'd actually be surprised at how kind of pedestrian they are. His numbers didn't really explode until they brought in Randy Moss. And then all of a sudden after that, they had the Gronk and Aaron Hernandez duo at tight end. So while their receivers weren't good, you still had those two. Oh, and you had a guy by the name of Wes Welker who was pretty good as well. So they had, it was a different style of weapon that they had there. What you mean by making more plays is that Johnny Manziel has an opportunity to extend plays, to buy time with his legs and allow receivers who normally would not be able to get open to maybe get open because it's impossible to cover for that long in the NFL. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, I think my definition of what he can do to pick up the slack or overcome the absence of a Josh Gordon, and he's working with then a lesser receiving core, no matter who's lining up there, and hopefully it's got some presence of giving him or giving this team a chance to make plays in the passing game, but got a lot to see before I come to that conclusion. But I think what it means is the likelihood without those receivers is things are going to be tougher. It's going to be harder to make plays. He will have to extend them because he's not going to find people open. He's not going to find maybe the separation that gives him the comfort level, especially as a rookie. Rookies tend to look for wider windows until they get more experienced and more trusting of what they're about. They don't challenge those tighter coverages. And in his case, you know, that hesitation, you pull the ball down, you're running, and he'll do that. So he can, of course, unlike Brian Hoyer, he can run and make some gains, pick up a first down, move the chains, put you in a better down and distance situation if your running game is able to pick it up, because he can do things with his legs. That's really all that means, is that when you have a lesser chance to make plays with your receivers, you've got a quarterback who can help pick up the slack because of the legs. That's really the only part of that analysis. As far as Hoyer is concerned, though, I think more times than not, he's going to throw to the right guy.
Yep.
And he'll make plays because he's able to see the right guy and his eyes, and his, you know, he can trust what his eyes see and what his head tells him to do. So I think all of those things matter. All right, we're going to get some assessment on what we saw Saturday night and what we're talking about with this quarterback situation with the one and only Gerard Cherry. We're going to get the three good topics with the three-time Super Bowl champ, our regular Monday spot here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.